Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, July the 5th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 3, page 38, in More About Alcoholism, starting with the first paragraph, beginning with On Through the Years. We will be reading this one paragraph only and commenting on this one paragraph. Today's readers are Karen B. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Don B., Julie E. B., and Janice P. M. Our newcomer greeter today is Mo H. and Leslie W. for our announcements. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, July 4th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,116. That's 13116. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, our Friday morning 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,118. That's 13118. The OA preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And now I will ask Karen B. to read our 12 steps of OA. Karen?
Good morning. This is Karen B. in Northern Utah with the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I'm so happy to have this opportunity to serve this morning and appreciate you all being here. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B. and from Northern California, and I'm going to read our traditions. So these are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted and servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks very much for letting me do service. And
thanks to Athena for reading our 12 traditions this morning and being of service.
Yeah,
how
thank
our meeting
you.
Works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted, and that includes your mute button on your phone, so please use star 1. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 38. And more about alcoholism, which is chapter 3. And we are going to be on that first paragraph, starting with on through the years. And now will Dawn B. begin reading. Dawn?
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. On through the years, this conduct continues, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. Finally, he can no longer work. His wife gets a divorce, and he is held up to ridicule. He tries every known means to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. He shuts himself up in an asylum, hoping to mend his ways. By the end of the day, he comes out. He races in front of a fire engine, which breaks his back. Such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? That's an amazing paragraph, and it just, to me, describes the insanity, the mental twist, and the complete outrageous length that I went to, and I'm sure others on this line have gone to try to cling to the idea that we are still somehow in control when it comes to our alcoholic substances, that we can have that little bit, or maybe this time, or because it's a holiday, or because it's, you know, whatever event, that this time we can handle it. And it is proven time and time again that we simply cannot, and I simply could not handle it. My alcoholic substances, once I identify them, how I identify them is I go through what are the foods that I've lost the option of choice over, the option of control over, what are the foods that I binged on in the past, and then I make a list of those, and I find the common ingredients in those, and those are my alcoholic substances. So I know that to partake in those is death for me. And it's amazing, in this paragraph it says, on through the years, I went through decades of relapse and Part of it was I didn't know what my alcoholic substances were, and some of it was I knew what they were, but I just couldn't put them down. And finally, as Harlan says, put down the food. That finally I came face to face to the fact that I was going to go on to live a miserable life and early death if I did not put down the food. So today, if you're on the line and you're still, you know, dabbling in trying to control the substances that you know are death for you, I encourage you to put down the food, because the freedom on the other side of that is absolutely beyond your wildest imagination. And not only will abstinence be something that you will be given by the power of a power much greater than you to be able to do, but you will do so happily. And the reason you'll do so happily is because you will be able to work the steps like your hair is on fire and want to work them every day of your life. I personally am enthusiastic about working the steps every day of my life because I know it is freedom. You know, yesterday was Independence Day, but the real freedom is through working the steps and being free from the disease that may be in the background, but it's not in my today. And I'm so very grateful that through working the steps, there is absolute freedom. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Don B., for getting us started. So again, we're going to be reading in Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism, on page 38, the first paragraph, beginning with, on through the years. Who would like to share?
Mary B.
John K.
Julie B.
Okay, I got Mary B.
Mary B.
I got Mary B. I heard John K. Who came in before John K.?
Penny L. C.
Okay, Penny L. C.
Robin B. Z.
Robin B. Z. D. Z. or B. Z.
D. Like dog.
D is David. Okay, D. Z. Yes. Thank you, Robin D. Z. We've got some. Okay, thank you.
Julie.
All right.
Mo H.
Okay, Mo, I got you, and I can.
Kim. Kim.
Reggie O.
I heard Kim. Kim, what's your last initial, please?
A, like apple.
Got it.
Thanks.
Okay, Reggie, I'm going to take you on the second round. Okay.
Great. Thanks.
All right. So let's see. I've got here Mary B, John K, Penny L C, Robin D Z, Mo H, and Kim A. So Mary B, please go ahead, and you'll be followed up by John K. Mary.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, thank you so much. My name is Mary B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. And this just reminds me of my countless vain attempts, my continual promises, I'll never do it again, I'd swear off again, time and time again, and once again, I'd always give in. Let me see. I tried everything to get that idea out of my head, that next bite, that extra bite would help me, would satisfy me. I'd finally feel good about life and everything. You know what I mean? That temporary 9 seconds of relief, and on and on and on. And you know, that's the reason why I show up here every morning to listen to A Vision for You, because I got to be reminded every single day of what it was like and what happened to me and what it's like today. And those continual promises I made to my family and friends that this is it, I'm on a diet, I'm going to do it this time, this is it, this is my moment, this is my hour, I'm going to achieve what I've always wanted to achieve. And what did I want to achieve? I wanted control. I wanted control back. I wanted to be able to have one piece of chocolate cake and turn to walk away like a lady. Do you know what I'm saying? And I don't have to live there anymore. I have the gratitude in my heart today. I have over 2 years of back-to-back abstinence. Thank you, Vision for You and OA. And thank you, God. Thank you, higher power. Thank you, everybody on this line. I love you. Thanks for letting me share. I pass, moderator.
Thank you, Mary B. John K., you're up, followed by Penny L. C. John?
Good morning. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, this chapter, it really takes these three types of insanity and talks about them here, you know. And for a long time, I thought, oh, they're just reiterating the same thing over and over to make sure I get that I'm insane. But, you know, they're really not. There's three different types, you know. Jim, with the whiskey and the milk, is about the illogic that we have, the crazy, oh, well, this makes sense. And it makes sense in the moment until afterwards, when, it, of course, it doesn't. And then this one is the jaywalker, which is about doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And later we'll hear about Fred and that strange mental blank spot. But what was this about? I think when they wrote this book to try and help the people, it was about denial. It was about breaking through denial. And this is the aspect of the disease that can just be so deadly. You know, there's very few diseases that have denial. I mean, you think about how hard, what would the cancer rates be like if denial was part of cancer, that people would get cancer and then say, oh, that's okay, I can handle this. I don't need a doctor. I don't need chemotherapy. I'll just work on this differently. I'll find my own way to do it. But that's what we have. We have a disease which, in addition to having to deal with it, we have to break through the denial. Because, you know, before you can be treated for any kind of addiction, you got to break through that wall of denial. And if I cannot, you know, truly come to terms with how much the food has disrupted and diminished my life, I'm going to continually, well, I should say I, my disease is continually going to get me to try to minimize the problem. You know, I mean, that keeps you from even getting to step zero, you know. And I haven't sponsored a newcomer, a brand new newcomer in a long time, but when I did, I used to have them write a food history as their first assignment. I wanted to know their history with the food. How did it impact their lives? How did the weight diminish their lives if I was dealing with a compulsive overeater? How did that constant thinking about and trying to constantly obtain food diminish their lives? This is what I wanted to know, I would tell them. Now, in reality, I didn't want them to tell me. I wanted them to tell themselves. Because when you tell someone else and you're putting it in the past, you don't make the same BS excuses that you tell yourself, especially if you're doing it in real time while you're eating. But, you know, there's a part of the streetcar story that I would put a slightly different spin on if I were using this analogy with me and my food. I don't know about you guys. Yes, I kept getting hit by the streetcars over and over. But in my mind, it was simply a matter of finding the right street. There had to be a street in the town where I could dodge the streetcars and not get hit. Well, that was the part of my disease, that nasty part. It kept dangling in front of my eyes. The idea that the answer was just around the corner. I could do this. Now, if I could just see what the problem is. Oh, I see, I can't eat such and such, but I can eat it if I'm out at a restaurant, or I can do this. My disease kept whispering in my ear that I could be abstinent and still eat all the foods I didn't want to give up. Well, you know, guess what? That's not surrender. That's attempted negotiation. And I can only tell you, I tried for years to negotiate or surrender, and it didn't work. You got a guy named Ira here, he's got 40 years. I'll wrap up. He says, you cannot negotiate with your disease. It will always win. Anyway, with that, I pass.
Thank you, John Kay. And Penny LC, you're up, followed by Robin DZ. Penny?
Thank you, Sherry, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I'm actually going to change my share because the previous share had really sparked something in me. The example of cancer. Well, you know, there have been different occurrences in my life that I always said, if only this happened, then I would get my food straightened out. And, you know, if only I found the man of my dreams. Well, that happened, but I still went back to the compulsive overeating the day after my wedding, as a matter of fact. You know, if only I could have healthy children. 5 years later, it was a project, but I was able to be blessed with healthy children. But I still put my food, the weight back on. After trying to be so healthy about my eating to be able to carry a pregnancy. And I had the absolute insanity of saying, if only I got a life-threatening disease, then I would get my food in order. Well, God blessed me with cancer. And initially, you know, the treatment, I took the treatment, but boy, and it took me, you know, down in my weight. But nonetheless, as soon as that was passed, I put my weight back on. There's my insanity. And I had a recurrence 3 years later. And again, they took me to death's door. I didn't have an extra ounce of fat on me. But I managed to put my weight back on because I kept taking my will back. I kept thinking I could figure this out. And it wasn't until my disease progressed far enough that I absolutely could not handle anything in life. My life was so out of control that I finally surrendered and realized I couldn't, my higher power could, and it's changed my life. So I'm so grateful for this awareness and these 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny LC. Robin DZ, you're up, followed by Mo H. Robin?
Good morning. This is Robin DZ from South Carolina. I wanted to share on this paragraph because I'm reminded of my nephew who loves to fish, and he fishes for fun, and he catches the fish and takes the hook out and puts it back in the water, and it's just fun. He never takes it home to eat. And one day shortly after my sponsor and I went over this particular paragraph, I was like, oh, my goodness, Robin, you're the fish. You continually take the bait, knowing that there's a hook under there, knowing that it's going to cause you pain and discomfort, but over and over again, you take the bait. And so I just wanted to speak to the new people out there who, you know, want to stop with all their heart, but they can't. That hook, the only thing that can get us to the right state of mind so that we know there's a hook under those tempting bites, is our higher power. And that's the only thing that's going to bring us out of our disease and help us find recovery once and for all. And so I just want to leave with this. Just remember the little fish or the big catfish that's in the pond that keeps taking the hook over and over just because he wants that tasty little morsel. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin DZ. And Mo H., you're followed by Kim A. Mo?
Yes, good morning. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Thank you, Sherry KB, for your service, continued service, and all those on the line and all those giving service. Okay, what popped out at me was I see a lot of he's in here. He, by his continual promises, he can no longer work. His wife gets a divorce. He is held up to ridicule. He tries. He shuts himself up. And he comes out and he races in front. All these he's. So that reminds me of myself. I'm in charge. I'm the one that's going to do this. I'm controlling. I'm going to go on this diet and I'm going to lose this amount of weight. It was all about willpower. I. So he is trying to do this alone. And thank God for me staying in the rooms for many, many, many years. And I knew there was a God. I knew that I had a higher power. I had a God. I had been given that as a child. And, you know, it changed as I grew. But I can't do this alone. I can't do this alone. I need continual connection with my higher power. From the minute I put my feet on the floor when I get out of bed, I say, thank you, God, for this day, for another day to do your will. Immediately. So, what this paragraph is showing me is just it's a control thing. I want to control. You know, he's going to do it if he shuts himself up in the asylum. And then he comes out, and what does he do? So, you know, I went on a diet, and then what did I do? I went off the diet right away. It's like running in front of the fire engine. And, you know, I was breaking my legs. I was breaking my back, all of this to lose weight. My goal was to get to that perfect weight. And when I got there, everything would be okay. Oh, what a fallacy. What a false belief, because that was never true. Number one, I never got to the perfect weight. And number two, everything didn't become okay. Sometimes it even got worse. And recently, my husband was in the hospital, and I could have just given up my abstinence for that. But no way, I was going to continue to connect with God, continue to offer my day to God and be in constant contact. And that's the way. Welcome to the newcomers, that we work our program and stay on the lines. And this will happen for you too. Thanks for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Mo H. And before we hear from Kim A., I just want to remind everyone where we're at. We're on page 38, the first paragraph. We're going to read that one paragraph only on through the years. So as soon as Kim A. shares, I'll go ahead and take some more names. Kim?
It's funny because Mo really kind of focused in on the same train of thought that I had. This is all about the things that the Jaywalker did. And, of course, I love the Jaywalker because, of course, I am the Jaywalker. I was kind of focused on the paragraph that we read where it says, where is it?
Kim, I'm sorry to bother you, but we're hearing background noise. Can you mute that?
I'm sorry. I'm not home.
Okay. If you
and I can't. If it's too much of a problem, I'll let somebody else share.
Okay. Well, you're welcome to share, but if you could try to move away from that, that would be great.
Okay. You know what? For now, I'll let someone else take it, and I'll see if I can find a quieter spot. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Thank you. Maybe you can try calling in again where you're in a more quiet spot. Okay, Reggie, I have Reggie O. Let's go ahead and sign some more people on. Who else would like
to? Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Carlisa C.
I'm sorry?
Carlisa C.
Carlisa. Okay, Carlisa C. Hadn't heard that voice in a while.
Margo B.
I'm sorry, Margaret B.
Margo, M-A-R-G-O.
Margo B. Okay, thanks, Margo. I'm going to take one
QK?
More and put Tim A. on the back. I'm sorry, who
Betsy?
Is that?
Betsy QK.
Betsy QK. Okay, QK. And I'm going to put Tim A. on the back and see if we can get her back on the line with less noise. All right. So, Reggie O., you're up, followed by Lisa J.R. Reggie?
Good morning. Thanks, Sherry K., so much for your service this morning. And my name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered here in Woodland Hills, California. And, boy, this is powerful, you know, when I look at, it took me years before I would say, jaywalking food, you know, compulsive overeating, that just, I just don't get it. But there's a lot that I've gotten to just and envision that I didn't get before. But, you know, it reminds me when I think about, compulsive eating in the light of jaywalking and the absolute devastation of broken bones and broken back and brokenness, you know. But then, you know, the devastation of the compulsive eating is like broken soul, broken relationships, broken joy, broken so much, you know. And at the same time, I love what John said earlier, you know, this denial that someday, somehow, I'll be able to be on top of this. And, you know, I remember I've stood in here before. I was recovered many years ago, and it was an amazing experience. My life took off in every direction. There was one promise after another in every area of my life, and for whatever reason, I let my life take over. You know, all this worldly outside just get in the way, and I stopped. And my relationship with God started taking. You know, I was not in the place where I was going to be at that point. I was in grad school, but. And I could have continued as I did the first year, but the second year, I just, you know, just couldn't get on my knees. I'd be too tired to get on my knees at night. I'd be studying with friends, you know, or thesis studying, and I remember the sugar would come in, but a good sugar, you know, not just like M&M's. It would be like really nice, fine chocolate and this and that, you know, same thing with meals, it would be fine dining, and I just thought, you know, it's kind of like living the high hog, and, you know, it was painful then when I would go out, you know, because I was in such denial, and I was living at this level that, I guess, you know, that exhilarated level, like the jaywalker, when you think, oh, am I going to get across the street this time, you know, and there's a thrill or a high in that. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, if you don't get across the street, there's no thrill or there's no high in that, and that's the thing with this disease, you know, like I never know. I never know if I'll get across the street or not, but I had to learn that, you know, and I had to learn that it truly was a disease, and, you know, this disease took me back out for years and years and years, in and out, you know, from a great life to pulling the shades and the curtains and walking down the street away from a CVS with a bag of, you know, candy, thinking no one could see me eating as I was walking down the sidewalks and isolating in front of a television when I hadn't even had a television for years. So I'll tell you, I am really grateful. I am just
Time?
So grateful to have a solution. And thanks, Sherry. And to know that, you know, yep, I'm that jaywalker. I've got to stay off the street in front of those trolley, get out in front of those trolley cars. Thanks.
And thank you, Reggio. And before we hear from Lisa J.R., just wonder if Kim A. Can get back on the line. Kim, can you get back on the
line? I am back, and
All
I think
right.
this is probably better. Thank you so much.
Sure. Go ahead,
please. Okay. So I was also going to make the connection between the jaywalker not – I kind of lost my train of thought now. The way the jaywalker is, like, in charge of all these things that he's doing that are causing this insanity in his life, because we know that when we are in our disease, whether it's the food or our defects, we know that it's insanity. It's easier to see with the food, I think, than it is with our defects, but it's insanity nonetheless. And it's not until we give up that he or she, until I give up that I, and I turn to my higher power, that I'm able to have my sanity restored. And I'm trying to talk on my phone while I read this on my phone because I don't have my book with me. But, you know, it says, he can no longer work. His wife gets a divorce, and he is held up to ridicule. He tries every known means to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. He shuts himself up in the asylum. But the day he comes out, he races. Again, like Mo was saying, it's he. And it took me many, many years in this program to really understand what a psychic change was. I knew that I had to work these steps. I knew that the Big Book was really kind of the Bible, but I didn't understand why. And when recently I got into an OA group that studies the Big Book, similar to what you guys do, I really started to get it. I have gone through, or I'm continuing to go through, a psychic change because I am following the directions of my sponsor and of the Big Book. And when I do this, I surrender everything. My will, my food, my thoughts, my decisions. And it's really hard because my defects tell me that I know what's best for everybody. My defects tell me that I should be in charge of the world. You know, my defects tell me, forget about the world. My defects tell me that I know the way everything in my life should go and that I am more important than other people and that my mind works better than other people and that if, you know, if people would listen to me, the world would make so much more sense. But my best thinking gets me fat and insane and miserable. So the psychic change that I'm going through is the understanding that if I stop making decisions, if I turn to my higher power and I just kind of wait for this thought or inspiration, it will come when and as it's supposed to. And that's not to mean that I just kind of like sit in the middle of my apartment and just like wait. Thanks. I'll wrap up. We have to do the footwork and just understand that we are not responsible for the outcome, and that takes away the insanity of the jaywalker and of our disease. Thank you so much for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you for your share. Kim A. All right, Lisa J. R. You're up, followed by Carlisa C. Lisa J. R.
Hey. Good morning, and sorry I jumped the gun there and stomped on what you were saying, but Lisa Jarre here in Baltimore. Love this story. I've come to love it. It used to make me cringe because Bill used language in the big book, shattered, our delusion has to be smashed, we've got to, you know, it's the total obliteration of things. And then I come to the story about the jaywalker. And oh my gosh, he's like me. I'm a thrill seeker. I'm going to break the rules. I'm not going to go to the crosswalk. It's all about me and what I want to do. I want to get where I'm going. I want to do what I want to do. So I don't play by the rules. And man, you know, I've been smashed and broken and devastated by this disease. But I'm sort of like Marvelous Marvin Hagler. You know, he was a boxer that had an iron chin, and I could take a punch. And I got in the ring with this disease and got beaten to a pulp so many times. But I finally got to embrace that things in my mind had to be smashed, these ideas that I was terminally unique, that I could somehow beat this disease, that I could get across the street without becoming a road pancake. Well, yeah, I've been scraped off the pavement from this thing. And only in picking up the book and doing the work have I been able to get across the street safely. And I'm so grateful that y'all are here. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. And Carlisa C., you're up, followed by Margot B. Carlisa C.
Thank you for your service, and I'm laughing because I think I will start announcing myself as Carlisa J. Walker, because by every form of self-deception and experimentation, I will want to convince myself that I am not a real alcoholic, not a real compulsive eater, and not a real jaywalker. And I'm so happy that the founders and the writers and the constructors of this program of recovery had jokes, right? They have a great sense of humor. And that this, I mean, it's so ridiculous, right, to think that I would seek thrills by jaywalking. Because everything is at stake. If I run in front of a car, I might have weighed a lot at one point, but I am not big as any car, right, as any car that I can think of, including the little electric ones, that I could get in front of a car, a bus, a truck, and race in front of it and live to tell it. Well, that maybe once, but certainly not twice or three times. But isn't that exactly what I would do today if God were not between me and my favorite compulsive bite, right? So today I'm so happy to have come to enough to realize that I am a jaywalker, I am a compulsive eater and an alcoholic, I do have a solution, and I can be in joy about it, right? And I can take the first step every morning and the second step, and especially the third step for me, and do that graciously and with good humor. Because unlike this poor candidate in the book, I don't have to have a fractured skull today. I can make a decision. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass. Thank you for your service.
And thank you, Carlisa Jaywalker. And we'll hear some more jaywalkers. Margot B., you're up, followed by Betsy QK. Margo?
Thank you. My name's Margo. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't often call into this meeting, but I'm going to try to do it more because my sponsor has gotten me to listening to the A Vision for You special editions on Sunday. and they have really, really helped me. I've had the good fortune of going through the steps a couple times, the first time in the OA book and then the second time in the AA big book. And I'm going through it a third time now, really slowly. And my sponsor is giving me, a lot of questions for every single chapter. I mean, I think we spent 6 months just on the first three chapters. And we just finished reading this chapter, and so the example of the jaywalker is still really, really clear in my mind. And just some really powerful examples here of the insanity. What I've struggled with in this program is I identified my alcoholic foods pretty early on and had some wonderful success in this program. I've been in for, I think, over almost 6 years now. But it wasn't like full success. It wasn't full abstinence. It was still slips here and there. And then because it's a progressive disease, more and more slips. As I'm going through the big book again with my sponsor, and really, really digging into what's being taught here, answering the questions and just really digging into it, I started to realize that I was still eating for comfort. I had eliminated some of my comfort foods, but not all of them. And I was still, turning to food for comfort. I just thought it was okay because I'd eliminated, some major, I made some drastic changes. But, there was still insanity there. There was still the thinking that that food could bring comfort, which it does, but just for, as you guys have said, just for a couple seconds. And then it just brings trouble and insanity. So, and jaywalking. So that's what I have been learning this time around through the steps. And it's been a struggle getting it from head knowledge into my heart, into my actions, because I can understand it in my mind, but it's so hard to get it into practice. But
time?
Yeah, thank you. That was a good share. Thanks for letting me share. I love this meeting.
And thank you, Margot B., and welcome to the line. So we're going to hear from Betsy QK, and we're actually going to have some more time for some more jaywalkers to share, if you'd like to share. All right, so Betsy QK, you're up. And I'll take some more names after you. Betsy?
Thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Betsy QK, a recovered bulimic compulsive overeater. And the jaywalker lacks impulse control. And that is me to a T when and in my disease. There's no impulse control. There's no ability to think it through. If I do this, then this will happen. Then, further disaster. I won't be able to reach my goals. There's no ability to think it through. There's just the impulse and then acting on impulse. That is what my disease does to me. So I'm grateful through recovery and working the steps and continually, being on meetings and getting reminded that I now have some impulse control. And it's only through this program because I've always lacked that. And then that gives me the ability to more fully live life and to more fully be present in life when I'm not just acting on impulse. And the closer I am to God, the more centered I am, the more I have the ability to be calm and think things through. Because I just was always on go mode before in my disease. Just go, just keep going. And so I'm just grateful that now it's like, okay, I can be calm and should I do A or should I do B or should I go with C?
and let God kind of direct me and my thoughts and my thinking. And that way I'm not just constantly putting myself in harm's way and then having to recover and clean up. And I'm really grateful this morning that I don't have a food hangover. I don't have a hangover. And I'm just doing my Friday. And that's to, you know, I'm grateful the program has given me that. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Betsy 2K. And we have time for two more people to share.
Irene. Yes,
from okay.
Shannon.
I'm sorry. Was that, I heard, was it Eileen?
Irene,
what's the name of your last name?
B.
Okay, I think I heard C, and then I heard Lance L. So let's go ahead. Irene, go ahead.
All right. Good morning, everybody. This is Irene B., a recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ever so thankful and grateful for this meeting and this program. I am feeling optimistic this morning because I'm a jaywalker of the crazy variety. I had this crazy thought like after May 17th. And I thought I could, well, I didn't think, somebody else thought for me, that we could bring a huge portion of carrot cake home with me. And then that was my husband. And then he left. And I was alone here in this house with this carrot cake. And I didn't have the power to throw it away or give it away because I wanted it so bad and I could handle it. Well, crazy me. Make a long story short, I lost my neutrality with food by the grace of God. I did not lose my abstinence, my sobriety, but sheer grace of God. But I lost my neutrality with food. And that has been very problematic for me. It hasn't been good. It's been a struggle. So it's like, how do I get it back? The first time I gained food neutrality, it was a gift from God. And this time around, it's like, oh my gosh, what do I do to regain my neutrality? Because once I've lost it, how do I get that back? I didn't know how to do that. And but I'm working the program harder than I ever have, and I'm reaching out to God, and it's like I knew that He was the only way. And last night I made a different choice. I went to visit my brother, his wife, and child, and it was the first night since I don't know when.
Time.
Thank you so much, that I regained my sobriety, and I'm so thankful to the program and to everyone. But it's only through being close to God that I was able to do that, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Irene C. And Lance L., you're up. You're the last one to jaywalk or to share. Go ahead, Lance.
Thank you. My name is Lance L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in California. And, you know, there's a clear message here in this paragraph and in this story. And it's about attraction. I see attraction. This man is attracted to the streets. You know, there's a pull. You know, there's a constant pull out there. No matter how bad it gets for him, it just keeps pulling him out there. You know, so I kind of ask everyone on the line, like, where is your attraction? What's your attraction here? Because if your attraction is to the perfect diet plan, if it's to weighing the perfect amount of food, or if it's to weighing yourself at a perfect weight or getting yourself to a perfect body image, I mean, you're not going to win. I mean, I've never won that way. You know, I've never won that way. My attraction here in Alcoholics Anonymous book is all towards God. You know, we work this program to get a spiritual awakening. We work this program to get closer to God, because when I'm closer to God, I'm further away from all those things that have trapped me. And I spent 32 years in that trap. And, you know, this jaywalker, he keeps walking back into the trap because of the attraction there. And it's never going to end. I don't ever like to talk in the past tense, because this happened this morning. I wake up with this illness. It happened this morning. It happened while I was on the line. I started thinking about my breakfast. I started thinking about the perfect amount to eat and all this kind of stuff. How hungry am I? Well, that's the wrong thing. That's the wrong thing to focus on. This book keeps me grounded, and lack of power is my dilemma. Lack of power. So I find power in something greater than myself, something greater than a diet book or a workout plan. Those things have never worked for me, and it doesn't look like it's working for the Jaywalker either, right? He's starting losing all these things as he goes on, and we got to keep growing towards God, and you know, it saves
time.
Me every single time. Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
And thank you, Lance. Well, that's all the time we have for sharing today. Thank you all for sharing. What a great meeting. All us Jaywalkers on the line. And recovering, thank goodness, from this disease. I want to take the time to thank Team Friday for their service. Karen B. read the 12 Steps, Athena B. the 12 Traditions. Readers of our text was Don B. Julie E. B. is going to take us out with page 164, and our backup was Janice P. M. and our newcomer greeter Mo H. and announcements Leslie W. All right, so Julie E. B. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Julie? Star 1 to unmute, please. Julie B., are you there?
Hi. Yeah.
Hi there.
I'm not able to pull up the reading. I'm
okay,
so sorry.
Janice,
listening
can
along.
You,
thank
can
you.
Can you jump in, Janice, and read A Vision for You, please, Janice PM? Okay.
Yeah, I sure will.
Excellent. Thank you,
page.
Janice.
I just want to get to that page. Oh, I should have a thing in it. Just a moment. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose to you more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.